words from the gospel. And they crucified him. In the name of God, source, word, and life-giving spirit. Amen. There is something curious about this very long gospel passage that we just read. And it is this. We can barely take our eyes off Jesus, even though he speaks but twice. It is the cast of characters that surround Jesus who drive the action in our gospel. There are the long-standing critics of Jesus' ministry, the chief priests, elders, and scribes. Then the Roman authorities, Pilate, the soldiers, and the centurion, who are comfortable torturing and executing an innocent man. The crowds that turn on him without much persuasion, and the bystanders who ridicule him as a failure to live up to the claim of divine power that they had hoped to see. Even the co-crucified taunt Jesus on the cross. Some female disciples from Galilee look on from a distance, and after his death, the discreet Joseph of Arimathea will make the burial arrangements. But on the cross, Jesus is alone. On the cross, Jesus holds our attention as friends, foes, and passers-by recede into the darkness of the crucifixion. On the cross, like Jesus, we can wonder where God is. My God, why have you forsaken me? And they crucified him. Former Archbishop Rowan Williams puts it this way. The intensity of the progression of Jesus' aloneness focuses our attention on this one figure. As he is progressively set apart from group after group, authority after authority, friend after friend, it becomes clearer and clearer that Jesus alone has to carry the whole meaning, the whole theological and spiritual weight of what is going on. Jesus does not get any help. When he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, there is no reply from heaven. No framework or script is provided. No set of instructions or reassuring words that it will be okay. Jesus must, through what he does and suffers on the cross, establish what the voice of God and the presence of God might mean in the world. What does Jesus on the cross say about human and divine power? What does it say about who God is and what God's plan is? And why do we have to read it over and over and over again, searching for the answers to those questions? What does the cross teach us about human power and divine power? It is good to remember that God works outward from the heart of reality. Jesus is God incarnate, God made flesh for us in our world, our reality. On the cross, God will work outward from the heart of the human Jesus. There will be no intervention from a distant heaven, no heavenly voice or legion of angels. Jesus is God's work. Jesus is God's plan. Even if, in the face of the cross, God's plan does not seem to be working at all. Rowan Williams suggests that it might help us to understand the plan if we look at the passion narrative from the perspective of the victim. He notes that victims of totalitarian regimes rarely know what is going on. All they really know is that everything is stacked against them, and they have no hope of getting out of the nightmare alive. the trumped-up charges, the sham trial, the disbelief, mockery, and sarcasm, the closing in of the instruments of imperial power wielded through violence and devoted to destruction. There is an irreversible direction to the passion. But here in this moment, when all is stripped away, Jesus will also reveal who he is. In Mark's gospel, readers have encountered a Jesus who shushes the demons who recognize him, or who swears to secrecy the followers who finally see and perceive who he is. But here in his passion, in responding to the high priest who asks, "Are you the anointed one, the son of the blessed?" Jesus replies, "I am." It is a claim that will be ridiculed by Pilate and the soldiers who think that they are in control of this execution. 5 times they will sarcastically mock Jesus and those who handed him over with the title King of the Jews. 5 times they are implying that Jesus has no power, no answer to their whip or crown of thorns or wooden cross. Jesus declares himself in a moment when he is stripped of all power, when he stands alone in the middle of this meaningless nightmare with no hope of life, when you can be under no illusion about his fate. In the face of human power, Jesus breaks his silence and finally declares who he is. "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated on the right hand of power, advancing on the clouds of heaven." This declaration shocks us. Is this divine power? Is this God's plan? Is this really the way God works? Jesus seems to be telling us that I, the Son of Man, this mortal person, standing here in the place of God, and the place of God is the place of a rejected and condemned human being. A declaration that is unimaginably good as well as unimaginably dark. A declaration of divine power that says God cannot be dethroned by any degree of pain, disaster, or failure. A declaration of divine power by Jesus that says, "I am now where God is." It means that God's presence, his love and mercy, cannot be extinguished by human injustice, by the power of human suffering. Williams writes that God has chosen to be and to be manifest at the lowest, weakest point of human experience. And so the poor and the helpless, the condemned and the isolated, reading this story told from the victim's point of view, can know that God is with them, and that the God who is with them cannot be defeated or deposed from his Godhead. When we look at the passion, we discover God is not where we thought he was. God is in and with his Son, who is helpless and about to suffer a terrible death. That is where God chooses to be and to declare himself. We know this to be true because we know the events of Easter Day. But even with that knowledge, the cross is not the end, we can still be shocked. Divine power is not like human power. Jesus' execution is the price that is paid to free us once and for all from the notion that God is like us. The belief that if one day we should find ourselves fortunate enough to be running the universe, that we could do a better job than God. The belief that our current way of running the universe is endorsed by God. The belief that human power can save the world is the root of all our sin. God must set us free. Jesus pays his life on the cross to set us free from our fantasies about God's power and ours. We are invited to let go of our power and trust in God's. And if we do that, there will be freedom. On Friday, Bishop Andrew invited the diocese to enter Holy Week with a deliberate shift of pace. He writes that this week is a week that uncovers, lays bare, and exposes the brokenness of our humanity. We could perhaps say a week when we let go of the fantasy of our power and put our faith in the divine power of God in Jesus, his Son. Reflecting on a practice to eliminate regular meetings in Holy Week, Bishop Andrew reminds us that less is more. Slow down. Christ died for you. So this week ahead, here is my invitation to you. Slow down your life. Pick up the gospel. Read the passion narrative for the first, fifth, or 50th time. The story is not finished, and the book does not end, so long as we need to be converted afresh by what it tells us. Jesus' death exploded the myths of human power and divine power. God, with the crucified Jesus, has declared himself present in the dead, failed, and abandoned Jesus. But in the empty tomb, God will say, "The cross is not the end. I am alive in Jesus." And if you are baffled, dismayed, and silenced by the mystery of the cross and the resurrection, do not despair. Words have been found. Lives of faith have been lived. That is why the gospel is there. Slow down and read. Amen.